Todd Harriman's walks into studio. Todd, great to see you. We're going to set you up right here, my friend, so you can see your old teammate. And I'm sure mentor as well, right? Trey Thomas, right here, the one close. Because you won't. We got cameras set up in here and everything, so this way you have you make some eye contact. Welcome to the studio, my man, Todd. It's great to have you in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
He just looks like a model.
What?
Honey?
Is that awkward for you to hear, Todd? When it just throws
what
it?
Happened? I can't hear anything. My headphones don't work.
Trey said that you look like a model.
Oh, thank you, Trey.
You look like you did
drop new from him, though. Trey's always very complimentary.
It was never weird in the locker room when he would just say, "Hey, you look like a model."
I'd wait till we got outside.
Okay, we don't do all the naked conversations.
No, right? I wasn't implying anything. But you have dropped. Like, how much weight have you dropped since you played?
I don't know. I think I'm probably like 20 pounds.
Well, 20? Only 20 pounds?
Yeah, I don't really weigh myself.
What, do you do yoga now?
Kind of, yeah.
That's what I figured. Yoga?
Pilates, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. We're going to fix those headsets for you. You're our first in-studio guest of the new program. So we appreciate you coming in.
There
again,
we go.
Man. So yeah. The story that just broke was, and now it's too loud. The story that just broke was regarding Lane Johnson. And the fact that he looks like he has a high ankle sprain.
And I heard that on the way in. Dude.
Okay, you did hear that.
Yeah. That's tough.
What's the procedure here? How do they remedy this on the offensive line at such obviously short notice?
It's on him. I mean, he's not going to really hurt it anymore. It's just one of those things that's going to linger. And I mean, Trey and I both played through them. They suck.
So suck it up.
They're bad.
Yeah. Tape it up. Suck it up. And play.
Little easier to do inside at guard. You know. You know, that's going to, I don't know which foot it is. Is it right?
Yeah, I looked it up. I couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah.
I couldn't find it either, but.
I mean, that would matter a lot, too.
Yeah, it does. If it's his right ankle, then that's a problem. If it's left,
it'd be all right. Yeah. You know, it'd just be a little, the inside move would be a little behind, but. They'll just have to guard on that.
Real quick, I just have to tell people to listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. Well, let me ask you this, Todd. You've been following the season, of course, and you just retired officially. Yeah. Congratulations for that.
Congratulations.
Hell of a career. Thanks, 10 Thanks, years an Eagle, no?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
10
yeah.
Decade as an Eagle.
Decade as a bird.
Not too bad.
A bit of dime here in Philly.
What was the whole experience like just going through the retirement process?
It was cool. I mean, mentally, I've been done for a couple of years. It was just kind of a formality that the Eagles allowed, you know, myself and my family to go through. It was really cool. Very special for my parents, especially. You know, they got to fly out for it. And, you know, coming from a small town, not really ever seeing this and experiencing everything I had along the way, just wrapping it all up. And it was just a special day.
Now, your impressions of the Birds so far this year, obviously trying to rebound after...
That says it all right there.
Well,
that was good analysis, actually.
It's tough because, you know, coming into the season, you're like, man, we're stacked. We have a better roster than last year. But everybody else in the league has a different roster as well. It's just a completely different year. It always is. And some of the pieces that you got back might not be working as the guys you had replacing last year. You know, it's a different chemistry. So... it's tough, but it'll get clicking. They got good players in the right position. They got a great quarterback. They just need to keep them clean, you know, especially coming off an injury. He's already a little hesitant.
You said something about chemistry. Now, you know, this is one of the things that we've been throwing around, tossing around a lot about the chemistry between a guard and tackle.
Yeah.
You know, like how important is that? Because I try to talk to him about it. You know, because I'm always saying, man, it's extremely important. Right. We have to get along. We have to feel, you know, you have to have a certain type of vibe. Go ahead and talk to him about that.
No, I mean, my best years were my last years that I played with Trey. My last years I played with JP. My last years I played next to Lane. Those are my best years, you know. It's just because the more time you spend with somebody, the better you are. Because you know how they're going to work. You know where they're going to be. You know what time they're going to punch. You know what they're going to do when they see a certain linebacker move over and get wide. You just know all these things without having to communicate it. And you can't build that thing in training camp, really, or in the off season. It's just games spent together because you can't replicate the things in practice. You try, but until you get out there in the live bullets, you're not really going to comprehend how important that is.
I want to ask you something kind of about the storyline of this season, because your rookie year, 2005, was a very weird year.
Super Bowl slump.
I mean, obviously coming off a Super Bowl.
Without the trophy.
A little different. But it was just a year where it seemed like the team was snake bit.
Man, that was one of the weirdest years of my life. It really was. It was my first year in the NFL. I was like, this is awesome. The Eagles been in the NFC Championship like almost every year. Went to the Super Bowl last year. I'm going to get a ring my first couple years in the league. This is going to be amazing. You know, showed up. Went down to Atlanta. That was a crazy start. You know, I think I was talking about that.
Fight before the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Trotter got ejected. I was like, man, the NFL is crazy. I was just wearing my sweats because I wasn't even playing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, this is nuts.
That was your introduction to
the
NFL?
That was my introduction to the NFL.
Is there
I don't know if I'm ready for this intensity. That point.
Is there a period where you just look at the team, and I know obviously inactive a lot, but you're still around the team. Is there just something you look around and you go, there's a little snake bit thing going on here?
I think it's I don't know if they're snake bit, you know? It's just, it's a weird mix, and I think that there's different motivations in the squad right now. There's a lot of guys that have a ring, have a trophy. Dude, their appearances have gone up from $1,000 an hour to $25,000 an hour. You know what I mean? There's a lot of other things that go into this. There's some guys that were, you know, in the MVP running last year that didn't get to earn his own ring. You know what I mean? I mean, he earned it. You know, he got him there, but he didn't win the Super Bowl for him. So, like, there's a lot of different interior, like, things going on. And I think that I think it's kind of evident on the field. You know what I mean? I know that they realize that they should all be still hungry and playing. It's just subconsciously, I think it's hard to control everybody and keep them all on the same path.
All right, so how do we...
Hungry dogs run faster!
How do we fix
the
problem?
Full bellies right now.
I said, I don't know if you agree, I said earlier, a little food coma. A little food coma right now. Maybe a little too much to eat. Now, please, Trey, Todd, there's a problem on the offensive line. There's a problem with Lane Johnson. There's a problem with Jason Peters leaving the game like every 5 minutes and comes back. And there's a problem at the left guard position. Jason Kelce isn't getting out the block like he used to. Fellas, solve the problem for us. What do they need to do?
Technique. They need to work a lot of technique. I think their technique is not where it needs to be. I don't think they punch well. I think they've been taught to grab a lot, and you're going to get picked apart when you're grabbing. I think they don't realize, because especially, Todd, you know, that if we have a two-look and it's a four-eye and I have an outside rusher out there, you know that I'm going to set vertical. Yeah, you're going to set at a 45, and it makes it easier to switch that game off because I know you're going to be there right there. So if I come in to bump off, then you can switch off to come take the looper. I think the technique is bad. I think their sets are bad. And I think that's one of the things that has to get corrected to kind of continue to protect Wentz.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I think benching Wiz, I don't know if that was the answer. You know, Wiz is serviceable. We won a Super Bowl with Wiz at left guard. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say the guy behind him isn't pushing and hungry and getting better and better and maybe should replace him. But just what I saw off of the game before, you know, if you get that wide tackle rushing, you have to, you know, your tackle has to help you out.
Yeah.
Also, you know, Wiz wasn't snapping and like he was kind of tapping his shoulders because he had to get back inside quick. But, you know, you got to snap it off. JP can help that by dragging a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, JP is going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's an outstanding talent. I've never played next to anybody quite as athletic as him before. he can. Well, hold on. Trey. No,
he was kicking me under the table.
I knew something was going to happen.
Trey is very technical. Trey's a great athlete, but right. Trey is very technical, and it was his craft that he worked on. And JP has been able to get fought by so far for just his athletic ability, and I think he's realizing that he's starting to hit his technique. You know, he's putting in that work and stuff after practice, punching and keeping his feet under control. But you know, sometimes his amazing talent hurt him, like when he's jumping out on his set when he's got that wide tackle, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows that. It's just a matter of repetition, realizing what's there, and then, you know, communicating it, you know. If I was in there and we had that wide ass, then had that wide tackle.
You can say ass, it's okay.
Ass,
what was that?
Good.
Let that ass fly, Todd.
Ass is a safe word.
That wide donkey.
Yeah, yeah.
I would look over to him and be like, hey, JP, set back with me right here.
Mm-hmm.
Something's up.
Yeah.
You know? And he'd be like, okay, Todd, I got you. And I don't know if that kind of communication is going on right now. I don't know if they have that kind of experience at guard right now. You know what I mean? Those are some of the things that I see when I look at the film.
But you would expect that to be more so with Stefan Wisniewski than you would, you wouldn't expect Isaac Seumalo to say that.
Correct. But I do hear Isaac's very, very smart. And Fletcher told me he's one of the most athletic linemen they have. So I was surprised to hear that, and I was like, oh, okay, I can see why they're trying to get him on the field. He also looks like he's got longer arms than Wiz, which would help snap that wide tackle a little longer in those games and not have him pick JP.
But you have to punch.
Correct. And when you're young, you don't trust it yet. He used to punch. He had a little... Okay, this is what
what's a punch? So explain that.
He's grabbing people right now. He's not punching. He has long arms. He's strong upper body. When you punch somebody, you stop them before they get to you. When you grab them, you invite them into you. You know what I mean? And then they kind of abuse you once they get into your body.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Canty used to play with me all the time like this. I used to have a really good punch, and then I would go in and play against Chris, and I would try to punch the crap out of him, and he would just juke me, and I'd fall on my face. Trey knows it. He's like, what are you doing? A couple of times, I'm just like, I don't know, man. He just got me.
Yeah.
And every, you know, and then I just have to get back to it, but he would put me in a rut for a while, just that one player, you know, and I don't know why, but he was maybe because he was taller than me or something, but, you know, I think that being young, it's harder to get back out of that rut when you miss, you stop trusting your punch, and I think that that's kind of where he is, and it's just going to take him to just land one real strong on a really good D tackle in a game and stone him, and he's going to be like, okay, that was easy. That's what I got to get back to.
Todd, one of the things we talk about so much is the run-pass ratio, and this year it's been a little skewed. A lot of passing, not a whole lot of running. As an offensive lineman, was that kind of in your head? Like, did you know during the game, like, all right, come on, let's go. I mean, we're passing it 50 times, we're running it 20.
I didn't really care.
You didn't, neither way. Like, Trey says you'd rather pass.
Trey, yeah. I mean, listen. There's definitely games I didn't want to just bash my head into the guy across from me and try to move him backwards because that's damn near impossible most of the time. You know what I mean? But I just wanted them to call what the defense wasn't expecting us to run. You know what I mean? Like, I can run a run play against someone that wants to pass rush me. I can pass block somebody that wants to sit there and play run. So the guessing game is what I really preferred.
Yeah,
that's where you get your advantage over the defense is when they don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean?
And that helps, obviously, with a little balance, no?
It created my whole career. Misdirection.
So this came up over the last couple of years, so many times, and that's Jason Peters, and you mentioned how athletic he is. He's a former tight end, right?
Yeah.
So he has talked about the idea late in his career, and it's pretty late in his career, of the idea of moving to guard. Do you see that as a possibility, and would it be a good idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Why not? You can at least give it a whirl, you know?
Is it something you do this year, or if he wants to play beyond this?
I would probably give it a couple games, see how the relationship with him and his guard develops, and if it's just not working out, maybe move Lane over there next to him. If Lane's back right foot's hurting him, that's tough to do on an ankle. But
Yeah.
I don't know,
like, moving him into guard, you know, it was...
So move him in the guard and bring Big V in?
Yeah, because then you would have to bring Big V in. Then now if he has a situation with his quad where anchoring is an issue, then now you're dealing with much heavier guys. That's going to give you, where you're going to have to anchor down now for sure when you have those big D tackles, because now here comes the big bull rush, you know. But, you know, if he could, I think JP could definitely play guard when he's healthy.
For sure.
You know, if the quad isn't a problem, he could definitely get down there and play guard. He's athletic enough, and he's strong enough to do it.
Do you still think, I mean, you guys know him.
He has the body type of a guard.
He definitely has the body type of a guard.
You guys know
him. I feel like he would be, like, move people. Oh, yeah. Like Larry Allen style. Like, up and out of there.
Because JP does not have the typical body of a tackle. Most tackles are tall, you know. JP is, what, about 6'3"?
6'4"? 6'4".
Yeah.
He's got, like, low center of gravity. His hips are kind of low, you know. He doesn't have super long legs. No. You know?
Is it something that you think he still wants to do or be willing to do?
Man, I think that if he saw his career extending further, I think he would.
Okay.
I think JP just really wants to play football.
If you have a lot of movement on the line tonight, say you have to shuffle things around, which obviously you're going to have to do if Lane Johnson's out, but if it gets more to that, like we were talking about, what's the easiest and hardest thing to do as linemen when you're at a new position? Like, say I have to grab you in the middle of the game and move you somewhere else. What's the easiest thing? What could we expect the Eagles to do? And what would be the hardest?
Yeah, that's tough. I think it completely depends on your personnel. Because, Trey, when we were running through our stint, if somebody went down and it wasn't me going down, I would just move over to that spot most of the time. I was the backup left tackle, right tackle, and I played left guard. We had plenty of right guards. But I don't know if they would have somebody that is as willing to do that. You know what I mean? I just felt like getting the best five out there in the best spot was really good. And for me, playing left guard or playing left tackle, or right tackle, to me it didn't seem like it mattered if I where I was. My game was kind of blah right across the, you know, not great, not terrible. I was whiz right in the middle, you know, in all the positions, you know. So to me it was like, get somebody in that can do the job that I'm doing at one of these positions as good or better, and I'll just go, you know, throw it somewhere else.
When you, obviously with retirement and all that stuff, becoming official, and you had the great moment, obviously, on Sunday before a loss. But when you look back on your career here in Philadelphia, what really sticks out to you? What are the first things you think of?
Probably just the relationships that you create, hanging out. You know, the games, obviously, going and playing in the link. The things that stick out, though, are just the good times in the locker room, clowning with the guys, because, like, that's what you miss the most when you leave. You can go find competition online. You can play Fortnite or whatever you want. I mean,
just like the NFL.
But I mean,
I play Far Cry myself.
It's the competition, you know, it's something to compete in. And, you know, if everyone's as lucky as me, they'll find a woman that they can continue their life with and have that kind of relationship.
Good job there, dude.
Wow.
But no, you do miss the hanging out with the boys and kicking it all the time, you know, because you're kind of forced to do that on a daily basis. You know, it's like going to an all boys school for your until you're 35.
You brought up your wife. That is interesting. Jamie went to an all boys school.
I went to an all boy high school. The thought of that continuing to age 35 is comical.
And he chose Sports Talk Radio instead. Well, this is not that different.
Very similar.
But you brought up your wife. So just you and I have something in common. We were both married in Italy. I got married in Siena in Tuscany. Nice. You got married in Sicily?
Yep, Taormina.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So
here's my bag from Sicily.
You got that leather from...
Yes, I bought this bag from Sicily,
that's
yes.
Very nice.
Trey's a haggler.
You gotta be.
Yeah.
So what made you guys choose Sicily? What was it? How long ago did you get married?
3 years.
3 years ago. Okay.
Three and a half.
I was married four months ago. But okay, awesome. That's
my wife's family's from Sicily. So Catania. And then we actually had taken our first trip to Taormina together. And we really liked it. Just made it easy, you know.
That's pretty much exactly what we did.
His wedding was beautiful, man. I had to go and apologize to my wife. I'm like, you know what, babe, I'm sorry. You know, because we got married at one of my homies' house in the backyard. You know,
it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, we went to Party City and got some decorations and threw some stuff up on the wall. You know, but you guys, we go to Sicily and we do it big. You know,
you had a T-shirt that had the bow tie on it.
Oh
right?
Yeah, I was just like, hey, babe, you know, it was like a week before the game. You know, like, hey, babe, let's go get married. You know, let's add this.
How old were you when you got married?
I was young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I heard somebody's backyard and I heard Party City.
Oh, yeah. Man. We were just saying somebody's, George Hagerman. We got married in George Hagerman's house.
He's from Camden.
Yeah. But we go to Ty's, wedding. We had a church where there are ruins in the background, in the back of it. And, you know, everything is BC.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, but it was beautiful, man. We went to a winery on the side of a volcano. I mean, we had an amazing time,
man. People
and you had the plastic champagne cups at yours, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. We didn't even do that, man. We had some fried chicken wrapped in foil, man. just got all through.
He's got Punic War people running all over the place. And you got plastic cups.
It's about the people you're with.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
That's what you're supposed to say. Just because they traveled to go to your wedding. Believe me, I know the guilt too. So when you talk about the characters.
That was a weird tangent, huh?
Yeah.
All good. Siena. It was
little
good.
Curveball. It was beautiful. Yeah. Oh my God. I forget. It was just. We got married 25 minutes outside the city center of Siena, right? And we had 103 people come over.
So how weird was doing the whole consulate and going through all the paperwork and stuff?
A pain in the ass.
Right?
Man. Fortunately, my uncle is a priest, and he helped a lot of that process through.
Boom.
And it was my grandparents that were born in Italy. My dad's parents were born in Calabria. That helped the process a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Love it.
There we go. All right. We're from Maida. Our family's from Maida. So they helped the process kind of expedite that a little bit, which was great. And then we had the same uncle that's a priest come over, and he did the marriage for us in this, like, 1,100-year-old chapel.
Sick.
Yeah. It was me and you were Party City dudes, Trey.
Yeah, hey, man, guys.
There's plenty of
you
nice backyards.
And then you come to Philly and you're like, man, City Hall is just not that old. You know? It's like a modern condo building.
Now, you mentioned the characters in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
Who was the biggest character in the locker room? Who was the guy that was always, you know, just full of personality?
Man, Trent Cole.
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of guys, man.
Really, Trent Cole?
Trent was one of the biggest characters, man. Yeah, Trent.
I always remember him being like a soft-spoken guy.
No.
Well, that's how he came off the
Us. The media.
Yeah.
Trent was an awesome character. Dornbos, very entertaining, very funny, you know.
Yeah.
DRC was a interesting locker room mix, you know. Roger Cromartie.
Sure, yeah.
He was just very energetic. Dahani was an interesting locker room.
Yeah, Dahani was funny. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different.
Yeah, we were wild, though, man. Yeah. You know, being in that locker room was just awesome because, you know, when you had that type of job, you could just, nothing was frowned upon. You know, you could just run around the hallways, go yell random stuff. I walked around with a leather football helmet on in the meetings and stuff, and it was okay, you know.
What time?
Yeah, so we would slap cookies out of each other's hands, you know, while we're eating. You know, and slap cookies out of hand. Yeah, you know? Like you're eating a donut, we would slap the donut out of your hand. Just right when you're getting ready to eat it, we slap it out of your hand, right?
Oh, that's timing.
So we're sitting in the cafeteria. And Mr. Lurie comes in.
Trey,
and
I bet you won't do it.
Yeah, I bet you won't do it. And he's telling us
this
story
cookie
with
in
a
his
beautiful
hand.
Chocolate chip cookie.
And all you can think of.
And I slapped it out of his hand.
What?
Yeah, and the next year I was gone.
but he thought it was funny. It was kind of like a, ha-ha, okay, I'm not really sure about this joke, but I'm going to grab another cookie.
Yeah, but nothing was frowned upon. It was okay.
Well, it sounds frowned upon, being that you got cut or whatever.
That was it. Yeah, he was like, all right, yeah, you want to take my cookie? I tell you what, you're out of here then.
Take about $5 million worth of your cookies.
Yeah, it was awesome, though.
Next thing you know, you're out of town.
Yes, that was it.
That's some good times. I want to get a little bit more, if you have time, stick around a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about Eagles-Giants. I want to get your prediction on the game coming up. Go over this offensive line again, how you like the matchup going against the Giants' defensive line, and anybody on that line you might be highlighting right now going into this game tonight. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 923. Farzetta Trey in the morning, 97.5 Fanatic, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on update. Todd Harriman's in studio with us right now. Eagles Giants tonight, 8:25-ish kickoff, of course.
Might be delayed. You never know.
It's the thunderstorm. I did too.
Thunder and lightning they're looking at.
Are you looking at, let me refresh. You just looked, I'm going to refresh weather.com. I feel like maybe it's my parochial school upbringing where we all wore uniforms. I'm terrible at checking weather. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just
never
get
it
right.
The same thing every day.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Same here.
By the way, it was awesome.
Like, I realized that that's probably what led to my not checking the weather.
Wow, we just had an epiphany, Todd.
Thank you.
Wow, I never realized that either. Yeah.
Right?
You idiot.
It didn't matter.
Not you, Todd, Jamie. No, I never checked the weather.
Because it didn't matter.
Exactly. I look outside and go, it looks okay. No jacket. That's it. That's the only thing I ever cared about.
And then you threw the stuff in the hamper on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were all there.
If it was gym day, all day wear those clothes.
Yeah.
All day.
Grass stained and everything.
Totally. Totally. By the way, I got to tell you, the 9 o'clock hour brought to you by Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Also, another sponsor we'll get to in this segment here. But when you look at the Giants' defensive line, Todd, what are you looking to attack? What are you looking to blow up? Where can they make some holes for this running game?
Well, I think right now, I think we need to get Kelce up to the second level. You know, I think we just need to keep hitting what they ran last year. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Whatever you did last year, it worked out.
We just need to run, you know, and commit to something. Commit to one thing. If you try to go up there and run one draw, one outside zone, one inside zone, you know, one toss, you're not going to get into a rhythm of anything. You know what I mean? You can't just try everything once and see which one leaks. You got to just, you know, see what your O-line is best at and then just give them a steady dose of that and you're going to pop it through. You know?
Yeah, when I look at this offensive line, one of the things I see with them, where they're better is the just coming off the ball. Whatever, if it's outside zone, inside zone, I'm cool. Long as you're coming off the ball. I don't like that draw, you know, slash inside zone, outside zone type style run because it just takes too long to develop.
Yeah, it's way too slow this year.
No.
That, the screen game's too slow. We were talking about this on last Sunday. Just a lot of the misdirection or whatever it may be stuff.
But who's
just
running seems the like ball this week, tonight? Who's running?
It's going to be Corey Clement.
Corey Clement, yeah. Corey, Wendell Smallwood. Josh Adams will get some touches most likely.
Are we going to make any moves?
I think they are. I think that, look, Howie moved money around. Yeah. Right, you're not just doing that because you're bored, right? You're doing that because you want to open up some some cash.
I don't know, really.
You never know with Howie; he likes numbers.
No, Howie's got a plan. I'm sure he's going to make a move here.
I think they are going to make a move. Now it is a an Eagles Giants matchup, of course, big rivalry in the NFC East. When you think about the many times in 10 years here in Philadelphia, you played against the Giants. Is there a player, somebody that really stuck out to you?
I mean, DeSean Jackson always sticks out. You know, the miracles, too. I remember, God, I think it was a playoff game here. We played him here. Maybe it was a wild card or something. Akers, we won on a field goal or something like that. Maybe I have a terrible memory.
I think
it happened early in our career. Just those things, you know, the moments that the game is so intense leading up to it and stuff. It always seems like there's some sort of memorable play or memorable ending to it. You know what
Did you have a personal rival? Did you have a guy that you always you knew when you're going up against him?
Yeah.
You had to bring it?
Like I said earlier, Chris Canty, he got traded to the Giants from Dallas. Man, he was just like all over the place. And I think one time he accused me of being a dirty player because I tried to cut him. It was a legal cut, I think. Oh, I got a flag thrown. Remember that?
He's the one that we ran that double team on in Dallas that one time. We blew out his quad.
Yeah.
That was good.
Look at the smile on Ty's eyes. Yeah. We blew him
big
out.
Big dude, though.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And I'll be honest, he used to give me fits.
What's changed the most? I know it's only been, 2015 was your last year in the league?
Yep.
Indy? And I want to ask you about that 1 year away from Philadelphia, but...
No,
what's in terms of the fan base?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been out in Indianapolis a bunch.
Oh, yeah, no, Philly would love to hear it.
Where are we doing the show? But when just the last couple of years, has the game changed a lot? Like we had a caller the other day that asked us about whether or not there was a young quarterback in the game right now that could beat Drew Brees' record, right? The now Drew Brees passing record. And I said absolutely because of how much the game has changed. So how much has it changed just in the time that you've hung it up?
I mean, just in the time that I've hung it up, I just feel like it's more of a finesse game. I feel like you're trying to pick the numbers more than you are trying to just be a stronger, more physical team. You know what I mean? When we first got in, you know, Juan wanted us to be big and road graders and, you know, what Juan used to say.
700 pounds of deuce.
Mass kicks ass. That's what Juan says. Mass kicks ass. And I was just like, what? All right. So, when I got moved to guard, I went to like 350 pounds. So... But then as I kept playing, I realized that the game was kind of changing. I didn't have to play guard so heavy. You know, the guys across from me were changing nickel packages. They're bringing, you know, Michael Bennett in there to play three technique. And you can't be 350 and moving like a sloth and try to block those guys. So I think that you're seeing more fit offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's becoming an athletic, agile game as to where it's not like a big, sloppy move them off the ball game. You know what I mean? Like Trey said, the game does... dang it.
No worries. Yes, I agree, Todd, that Trey would have punched the crap out of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, we would have.
Yeah, most likely.
And then if he tried to come inside, I got Todd in there to come clean him up. That's what made my game so awesome. People don't understand that, man. You come in there, you try to give me a bull rush. If Todd and them aren't going to just sit there and go nuzzle up against somebody, they're coming to clean your clock.
Yeah.
So I would just sit there and hold my guy on the bull rush. Here comes Todd. Slap, knock him right on down, man. I mean, we just worked well together.
A lot of Eagles, I shouldn't say this, but there's been a few Eagles. I know we talked about Harold Carmichael yesterday.
Right.
And there's been a few others. Brian Dawkins played a couple of years, obviously, out in Denver, but you play a decade here. Brent Celek just retired as well, a decade all with the Eagles. And there's been guys that have gone elsewhere after a long time here in Philadelphia and just played a year or two. Away from Philadelphia, what was the atmosphere like? I know it's a smaller city, obviously, Indianapolis, but can you compare the fan bases at all?
No, it's not even comparable. So to me, Philadelphia was like my first introduction to a city. You know what I mean? I grew up on a farm. I went to like a rural school. I've never been like in the city. So Philadelphia was my idea of a city and what kind of got ingrained to me of what a city looks like. Also, at the same time, this is what a football fan base looks like to me. You know what I mean? I didn't live in Detroit. I didn't get to see how the Lions fans really were. I saw the bags on the heads, but, you know, it's very passive-aggressive, you know. But to me, and then going elsewhere, like to Indy afterwards, it just seemed subpar. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't as excited. Yeah, they like to come and go to training camp, but they weren't at training camp to, like, see what was coming this year. They were at training camp because there was, like, an inflatable slide, and there was face painting, and there was a state fair down the road. So I just think my personal experience, Philly is just hands down the best fan base that there is out there. And, you know, my time in Indy, if it had gone differently, I might have viewed it differently.
Okay, sure, okay.
But, you know, me and Indy just didn't vibe, so it didn't work out.
Well,
and,
it was...
And I'm kind of glad.
It was after... What were we with Chip Kelly? Were we 2 years with Chip Kelly?
2 years with Chip. I went to Indy for his last year here.
So what was that experience like? Because everyone had hyped it up to be the most different thing in the history of different things. I know, Trey, you don't have the most pleasant experiences, but Tom...
Damn, last Chip.
But, Tom, what was that like for you, obviously being in the league already 9 years, yeah. 8 years, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in really changing things up?
Hey man, it was his team. Whatever he wanted to do. Like, I don't really have any, everyone thinks that I got this ill will towards Chip. I don't. You know, I'm sure that if I went in and coached somewhere, there would be guys I'd be like, too old, can't move, get him out of here, not worth the money. And they'd be like, well, you know, he's been here a really long time. I'm like, I haven't. Get him out of here, you know? So I don't really have any, like, issues with Chip. You know, I think that his offense was very smart. I think that he's a very good football mind. I think that he's maybe a little too... His ego is a little too big to be able to transition like he needs to in certain times and certain game scenarios. You know, he just thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And, you know, you have to adapt as a football coach.
We'll wrap it up with Todd Harriman's coming up in a couple of minutes. But I do have to tell you, of course, that the great people of Wendy's, you can indulge. This portion of the show brought to you by Wendy's. Indulge in the best flavors of the fall with the new Harvest Chicken Salad from Wendy's with apples, brown sugar, walnuts, bacon, and grilled chicken topped with an apple cider vinaigrette. But hurry, just like fall, this salad will only be around for a limited time at participating Wendy's. Wrap things up, tell you what our takeaways of the day are, and also get our final predictions for Eagles, Giants kicking off tonight in Thursday Night Football. Time at the Fanatic, 940. Welcome back. Farzetta, Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson running around. Andrew Salchunas on the updates. And Todd Harriman's hanging out in studio.
My so brother from another mother, man.
Let's get him in. Let's get him in here. All right, here we go. What are the predictions? State them one last time. Jamie Lynch, let's start with you. Prediction for tonight, Eagles, Giants. Oh, this is that side.
I sense a 23-21 victory.
And
that is 1 point under the total number in Vegas.
Eli has a
hilarious interception at some point.
Bob, what do you got tonight?
I got a sloppy one, but 17-13 Eagles.
I'm going 13.
Tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Big and wet. I'm going 27-24.
Oh, that's a bit of a high scoring one.
Yeah.
27 points for the Eagles and what could be a soaked mess.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just continue to go around the horn here and go to me. I'm going to go with a 22 sloppy 16 from the Giants.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm going to go with. A sloppy 16. 20
sloppy
to
16.
Impossible almost to score that, but that's what they're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah, a lot of field goals.
Doing the math. Yeah, there you go.
Carrying the one.
That's what it looks like as far as I'm concerned. I think the Eagles are going to win this one tonight 20-16 in a game that just won't make any sense thanks to the weather. Todd, what do you like?
I'm going to go 28-13.
Okay.
Eagles.
Thank you.
I think Carson's going to... I think we're going to see a familiar Carson. I think that they're going to they get some game planning down there on a short week, catch the New York Giants slipping after that letdown. You know?
All right, but most of us have it as a close one. Todd, you have it probably as the biggest margin of victory for the Eagles. Sam, what's it look like for you personally? Before we give us the Twitter poll question, of course, brought to you by Window Nation, what do you got?
I think it's going to be ugly just because of the weather, and it's an NFC East rival. So I'm going to say 13-10 Eagles.
13-10, yeah. Another close one here. So you're betting the over, I guess. Well, not the over, the but under, you're yeah. Well, it's what, 2.5?
Is the line's at 3, over under is 44.
Okay, fine. All right. What are the people saying on social media?
So we asked everybody else, tonight the Eagles will ... 50% say win a close one, 28% say win in a blowout, 18% say lose a close one, 4% say lose in a blowout, and today we had 1,600 votes.
1,600 votes, most people being optimistic about a victory today. That's a nice thing that we could take away from the show today. As far as our roundtable takeaway of the day, brought to you by Schwartz Cullerton. Schwartz Cullerton gets the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. Sam, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is every time I have a cookie, to have Trey Thomas by me to smack it on my hand.
I did want to reconfirm, by the way.
Better keep the head on a swivel.
I did want to reconfirm it was Trey Thomas, not Todd Harriman's, but Trey Thomas smacking a cookie out of owner Jeffrey Lurie's hand.
Yeah. I didn't have that status.
You were this.
Yeah. I'm going to go down to our big boss Joe Bell's office, hand him a cookie, and just promptly smack it out of his hand. And see if I'll be back tomorrow.
Just present him with it, give it to him, and then smack it out.
Here you are. Chocolate chip, not a soft one, but like a crunchy one that'll go all over the place. Bob, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is that since Trey and I are going to do a pregame show tonight.
Yes.
Rather late, and we have to be down the shore rather early.
Maniacs.
I'm taking away that I'm going to just stay on his coattails all night and then learn how to be a man for the night and see how I am at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Todd, real quick, is there anyone to learn how to be a man from better than Trey Thomas?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
I would say
I'm in for a long night.
Hold on tight, buddy. Hold on tight.
Jamie Lynch. What's your takeaway of the day?
I learned I wanted to be at Trey's backyard wedding with some party cups and some fried chicken. That sounded like a good time.
If I hear fried chicken wrapped in aluminum foil, I'm stopping by.
Yeah, I'm in.
Trey, what are you taking away?
My takeaway from the day is, you know, it's just nothing like the camaraderie that you can have with friends. And I just enjoy that. I just enjoy the camaraderie.
That's adorable.
I love you guys.
I love the change in tone.
Yeah, totally.
I felt very relaxed.
Somebody should hug him right now, but I'm not volunteering.
Music,
I feel like we're sitting on pillows.
It's like Pat Shermer. We're used to NPR.
Yeah.
And the other day, a vein was popping out of his neck.
Yes.
We were talking about finito.
That's it.
Todd, as our guest today, what's your takeaway?
My takeaway of the day would be that it seems like everybody's a little on edge right now.
Ooh.
And that everyone should just listen to the music, listen to the smooth, sultry voice of Trey Thomas,
yes.
And just relax.
Yes.
Take a little page out of Aaron Rodgers' books and relax. It's going to be okay.
Relax.
Oh,
all right. Well, my takeaway of the day today is that I, Mark Farzetta, was able to remind our producer, Jamie Lynch, of a somewhat perverted quote that he had forgotten about from Matt Stairs.
Your ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done.
One more time, Jamie.
Getting your ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done.
That's what he said. That's what Matt Stairs said after the home run in the NLCS against the Dodgers in 2008. And he meant every damn syllable of it.
I think that there's a good nickname. I think there's a good nickname coming out of that. The ass hammer.
I think we just got a good drop, Jamie. Look how excited Jamie is. You just made his life.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Had a blast with you today. For Farzetta and Trey in the morning, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas, Todd Harriman's. We'll talk to you tomorrow after an Eagles victory. Time at the Fanatic is 9:53.